This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
On top of the world.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Toyota and GM have been fender to fender in the race to become world's biggest car maker. Today, Toyota says it's pulled ahead. For 2007, the company expects to have sold 9.36 million vehicles. That would beat GM. And in the new year, Toyota is expecting to break GM's 30-year-old yearly sales record. Shares in Toyota gained more than 1% overnight. That helped send Japan's Nikkei up 2%. The markets in Europe and the U.S. are, of course, closed for the holiday. On Wall Street yesterday, stocks added to Friday's Santa Claus rally. The Dow picked up 98 to 13,549. The S&P tacked on 12. The NASDAQ rose 21 points. Christmas Day, and it's time for the movies. December 25th is one of the most popular days for the theaters. The studios release a lot of presumed crowd-pleasers and Oscar hopefuls at year-end. As Sarah Gartner reports, the box office results may cheer a town made grumpy by the continuing writer's strike.
See? No monster.
Monster ticket sales is what Hollywood wants for Christmas. The Aliens vs. Predator sequel, Jack Nicholson's The Bucket List, Sweeney Todd with Johnny Depp. They're among a slew of films the studios are releasing over the holidays. The closer to January's Oscar nominations, the better, goes the thinking. Plus, families are on vacation and have more time to catch a flick. But don't think you can see them all, says box office analyst Robert Buxbaum.
We actually worked it out, so if somebody were to see all the new movies that are coming out, they'd have to spend, I think, 19 hours a day in theaters from now until the end of the year.
Buxbaum predicts hotter box office sales this holiday season than last. The only movie in 2006 topping $100 million in December ticket sales was Night at the Museum. This year, Buxbaum expects at least four movies to do that, including the sequel to National Treasure. In Los Angeles, I'm Sarah Gartner for Marketplace.
Microloans have become a trend in international development circles. This is where very small amounts of credit are extended to those not considered bankable. Typically, the giving is the domain of the UN, but now a growing number of websites are giving ordinary people a chance to get involved. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
Kiva.org was the first of these peer-to-peer microcredit websites to launch. The idea is lenders give small loans to entrepreneurs of their choice in the developing world, a Peruvian cheesemaker, a clothes vendor in Africa. The average total loan is around $600. Kiva.org's co-founder Matt Flannery says the most down-to-earth businesses get the most funds.
Maybe one of the most unpopular loans would be something like a taxi driver, and the most popular loan would be something like a fruit seller or a farmer.
Since it launched 2 years ago, Kiva has loaned around $17 million, a drop in the bucket compared to the multi-billions of dollars available in commercial microcredit each year. Still, Elizabeth Littlefield, CEO of a microfinance industry group, says Kiva has inspired a new generation of peer-to-peer lending.
Microfinance's, you know, bootstrap capitalism really appeals to, you know, the entrepreneur in all of us.
Littlefield says one of the most interesting news sites is Microplace.com, an eBay company. Unlike the nonprofit Kiva, this site is registered with the SEC and offers lenders a return on their investments. A similar site, GlobeFunder.com, is scheduled to come online in January. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNY Mellon Wealth Management.com. and by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting the health of people and communities through grant making, employee giving, and volunteerism. Online at Medtronic.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Christmas Day may be an odd time to lecture against obesity, with the feasting and all. Perhaps no one embodies the spirit of holiday gluttony better than jolly old Saint Nick, his famous belly that shakes like a bowl full of jelly. But many public health advocates say Santa needs to trade the flab for six-pack abs. A trimmer Santa, they say, could be an important tool in the fight against childhood obesity. But Cash Peter says, ho, ho, no.
This whole campaign to make Santa thinner comes from, who else, a marketing whiz called Dr. John Tantillo. John thinks that Santa Claus is a brand, like, say, Betty Crocker is a brand, and as such, he should also be a role model, not a roly-poly model.
If I were advising Santa and his handlers, I would say lose about 10% of your body weight and just eat a little less calories.
You do understand he's totally fictional.
Cash, are you telling me that there's no such thing as Santa Claus?
I'm saying let's move on. Anyway, to kickstart my campaign against making him thin, I went to the Grove Shopping Center in Los Angeles to meet their Santa, only to find that he already was thin.
There's things that we like that may not be so good for us in large amounts. Cookies and the cakes and the plum pudding and such. We can also have the carrots. We can also have the celeries.
Oh, well, yes, we can have the celeries, Santa. But what's Christmassy about that? Or about sitting on a guy's knee and having him reel off a bunch of health research.
They did a study years ago.
Yeah, like that. I mean, it's all gotten way too PC for me. Stop attacking Santa, John.
I would not attack Santa. I would just make a recommendation to watch those trans fats and to...
But how do you know Santa eats trans fats? It's a drawing.
It's Christmas Eve. You come down the chimney. There on the table is a bag of carrots... or a chocolate cake. In the morning, which has disappeared?
If it's me, it's going to be the carrots, because the reindeer are not going to much want that chocolate cake.
I think Santa's lying.
No, because I see the effects that this is having on the children.
Well, that's all very nice. Personally, I think the guy should focus less on his health and more on what he does best, giving us stuff.
This is Santa. You can ask for anything you want. What would it be?
A new career.
Okay.
Okay. In Los Angeles, I'm Cash Peters for Marketplace. Though not for much longer, apparently. Thanks, Santa.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Merry Christmas.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.